James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All right, let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you once again for this opportunity to be at your house and to be able to come in the middle of the week to get a charge, so to speak, and to help us, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to Lord, further your work. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, give us understanding, discernment. Lord, give us wisdom to follow the knowledge that you have bestowed upon us. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's go over now to the book of Judges. Actually, Joshua. I've got all of my scriptures all jumbled around. We are going to go to Judges, all jokes aside. But go to Joshua chapter 24, because we need a sort of a, what would you say? Sort of a background, a beginning to all this. Chapter 24, and I'm not going to read every verse in here. Joshua, they had come, they had crossed over, you know, already, and they had done an awful lot in the land of Canaan. And Joshua gathered, it says in verse 1, all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. In other words, this is what God told me to tell you. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers and with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore hear the Lord, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Let's stop there for a moment. So basically, Joshua was about to die. Joshua brought all the people together and he said, this is what God has told me to tell you. And he gave him a story because if you remember, let's see, there was 40 years Moses spent in Egypt. Then there was 40 more that he spent on Mount Sinai. Then he went down Mount Sinai. Yeah, wandering around Mount Sinai with sheep. Then he went down to Egypt, brought them out of Egypt, and for 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. But now what happened in the wilderness? The major thing to the entire generation, they all died. 20 years up, every one of them died. Then they get to Kadesh Barnea, and they cross Kadesh Barnea. But these people never come across the Red Sea. It was only a handful probably that actually saw that take place. Well, actually, there wasn't anybody that saw it take place, when you think about it. Yeah, because that was 40 years prior to that. Nobody had saw that take place. Well, now it comes down to they've been in the land for a long time. And he's telling them, he's saying, listen, this is what God has done for you. You better get it together. He said, you need to fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away your gods. Now he says in verse 24, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, as for Joshua and his house, he says, we will serve the Lord. Now the people answered in verse 16, and they said, oh, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now they all stood there and they agreed with this. They're all for it. They're all for serving the Lord. They're all for sticking with him. And it finally, as we read on here, it says, and it came to pass after these things, verse 29, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Now go to the book of Judges. So Joshua's dead. Joshua gave them his final speech. He said, you need to serve the Lord. You need to put away these childish things. Put away the idols in your life. He said, you need to serve the Lord and you need to fear the Lord. In other words, that's a reverent fear. It's a respectful fear. It's not, scared of something. It's to put him in his proper place. Now, the book of Judges gives a lot of history of the Israelites, and it's about 300 years, for about 300 years, actually, after the death of Joshua. But the book of Judges is a book of failure. And you hate to look it that way, but that's what it is. Every one of them you read, it's all about failure. And there's two verses that you ought to underline or highlight in your Bibles, and I'll give them to you in a moment, that's really the key verses to this chapter, to this book. But not only did the Israelites fail to conquer the whole land that they were supposed to, but they lost often what they had won, and they were also enslaved by the Philistines for a lot of reasons. Now, the reason for failures is the key verses in this in the Word of God in the book of Judges. Turn over, hang on to the where you're at, but go to chapter 17 and verse 6. You ought to highlight this verse or underline it or make a little dot by it or something. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. One more verse. It's the very last verse of Judges, and it's word for word. Verse 25 of the chapter 21. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, if you think about it, they had a king. It was God. Of course, you find out later, we want a king. And they ended up getting a king. But nonetheless, this was their problem. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. Now, it's also a warning for us, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But it wasn't long. Well, let's look at Judges chapter 1. Joshua's dead now. They've said, oh, we're going to stand with the Lord. We're going to stand up with Him. We're going to do what He says. And verse 1 says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now, what I want you to look at, and if you read this entire, we're going to go through some of it spots here in a few minutes, but you got to hand it to them to start. Joshua died. Joshua said, right before he died, he says, you need to remember what God's done for you. You need to serve the Lord. And if you don't serve the Lord, by the way, you're going to wish you had him. And you need to serve the Lord. You need to put him first. Stay away from what the world is offering them. And it says, after he died, they asked the Lord what to do. That was the right thing to do. That was the very first thing they did. Lord, what are we going to do? Joshua's dead. We've got to go up and fight the Canaanites. Who's going? What do you want us to do? They were doing a pretty good deal. In other words, they started out being very wise and they were following the instructions of Joshua. But it isn't very long before the flesh took off and the old nature kicked in. And they had some problems. When you read Judges chapter 2, go over there to chapter 2, it'll give us some spiritual history without us really going through everything to start. It says in verse 1, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord said these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, or Bochim, however you want to say that, I guess. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Now look at verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the angel of the Lord, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So basically what you're seeing that Israel came out of Egypt. They went through all of these things. They saw God bless them in a mighty way. These people told their children. And then as these people grew up, some of them told their children. And then they crossed Kadesh Barnea and they went in and was taking it, although they didn't do it all of what they're supposed to. And then you've got a whole group of people. Joshua died. All of the people that served under him died. Then you've got a whole group of people that don't know nothing. And when you look at that, you're like, well, why don't they know anything? Somebody failed to tell them. So there's a lot of things we can learn from this. For one, we need to be sure we're telling our children, our grandkids, friends, relatives. They need to know what the Lord has done in your life. I bet there's not anybody in here that can't say, well, or that could say, oh, the Lord really hadn't done anything in my life. Hadn't done a thing in my life. Everything's been fine. No. He's helped you in some little way. Maybe some big way. Now, what they did, over in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Judges, it said, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Judah, the tribe of Judah, I'll say, they gave up. God done all of this for them, but over chariots they couldn't take over. That was a poor excuse. And he actually called in, what was his name? His brother. Simeon. He actually called in Simeon to help him. Basically what he's saying is, God can't do it with me. I need somebody else. They also turned around over in verse 28. They decided to, the Canaanites, by the way, that were supposed to have been dead because they were supposed to kill them all, they said, well, we'll take tax money from them. Oh, and by the way, we can give some of that to God. You know, that's a good thing. We're going to make some money off of it. But that ain't what God said. God said, get rid of them. So you see, they messed up, because in Deuteronomy chapter 7, by the way, he said, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. They didn't. They kept them. Used them as slaves somewhat. And then taxed them and said, well, that was the same thing was happening to them in Egypt. And God started dealing with them. So what does that have to do with us? What kind of lesson for us is from this passage of Scripture? For one, be sure, right off the bat, whatever comes up in your life, be sure to do this one thing. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Ask the Lord. We need to ask the Lord. It don't matter what we're doing. We ought to inquire of the Lord. Because if we'll inquire, but there's some things that come with that. When we inquire of the Lord, seriously seek the Lord's answers. Now, there's nothing wrong with me asking the Lord and then asking some people. When I ask the Lord, I should read scriptures. Scriptures hold the authority. But I might get together with Brother John, Brother Kevin, Brother Bill, Brother Bill, Brother Howard, Brother Jose, Brother Roger. I might pull them together and might even throw in Louie and Ryan. And I might say, hey, I've got this situation I'm looking at. This is what the Bible's telling me. What do you think? Let's all pray about this. Because there's security, there's protection, there's wise counsel, and we should use it. And in a multitude of the wise, there's safety. That's somewhere in Proverbs. I don't remember where. I didn't write the verse down. But we should be willing to do that, to bring people together and ask them, hey, I've been praying about this. This is what the scripture's telling me. What do you say? Now, there again, I'm going to back up just a hair, and I'm going to tell you, scriptures cover top notch. But there is protection. There is help in the multitude of counselors. Now, that's godly counselors. Now, if you want to do something stupid and ungodly, you go gather a bunch of stupid and ungodly people. And they'll help you. If you really want to know what to do, though, you go find some godly people that you trust. You sit down with them and you say, I'd like for you guys to pray about this with me. I would like for you guys to give me, what do you think? And see what they say. There's a big chance, well, depending on what you want, it may not match up with what you want to hear. But if it matches with the scriptures, which you didn't want to hear, you better listen. Because it's important. But what else does this passage tell me? Go over to the book of Hebrews. You can close Judges off. We're not coming back there that I know of tonight. Might, never know. Hebrews chapter 10. See, this is something that the Israelites, more or less, I'll say, kind of forgot. They kind of put it on the back burner. Got away from them. Chapter 10. In other words, the Israelites had traveled for many, many, many years. God had done all of these things. But now they're living in what? The land of rest. They're living in the land of Canaan. They've got all of this stuff that God had promised them, and they didn't have to work for none of it. They're all laid back, and they're having a good time. Of course, they're mixing in and mingling with the nutcases over there. And they were doing what God had told them not to do. And they lost the assurance that God's going to take care of them. They got away from the fact that God's taking care of them. That's something we don't need to get away from. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brother, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now see, they didn't have that opportunity. They couldn't just come busting into the Holy of Holies and say, God. Because they'd have busted into the Holy of Holies, poof, fell over dead. We actually have, what would you call it? Have that privilege. We can drop wherever we're at, stop what we're doing, get on our knees, pour out our hearts, but we are in spirit. We are going straight before the throne of the Almighty God. Think about that. Who created heaven and earth? Spoke it into existence. God did. We're able to go straight to the throne of God and pour out our hearts and tell Him all about what we need. And that ain't right. The wind blew my paper. Now, verse 20, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. In other words, the veil's gone now. That opening to the Holy of Holies, He done it because He gave Himself on the cross. Open that up for us. We can approach the throne of God boldly. I think that's Hebrews 4:16. And having an high priest over the house of God. Who's the high priest? It ain't Aaron no more. It wasn't them Fruit Loops that put the Lord on the cross. It, the Lord Himself is our high priest. And He says, let us draw near, verse 22, with a pure heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, that's the word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. In other words, what these scriptures just told us is if I need to, I can go straight to the throne of God, straight before the Almighty God. I can go straight to Him, and the high priest is there, I'm a priest. You're a priest if you're saved. You can go straight to the Holy of Holies, not just the inside the holy area. In other words, you picture yourself, you put it all into example. You walk into the courtyard. You can go into the holy area. But you can go into the Holy of Holies because you are a priest and fall down before the high priest and before God. And guess what? Jesus says, I'm right there with you and I'll help you every inch of the way. But too many times, see, we try to do things in our own way. Way too many times, what was it I said the other day? I can't even remember what I said. I don't remember who I said it to. We tend to try everything else, then we pray about it. Let's try this. Well, honey, let's try this. Well, let's do this. We better pray about it. Well, you done tried everything else. So Jesus was the last resort. But yet we allow Him, or we live with the fact that, guess what? He saved me. He's able to keep me. And He's going to take me to heaven one day. But this might be a hard problem for you. But that's what we do. We need to remember that we're under the assurance of faith. We have full faith. We need to keep that full faith that Christ can do what he says. Our confidence really and truly needs to be based on him, not on our works. Our works of righteousness, they don't count. We don't need to base it on, well, have I been serving the Lord properly? Well, have I been doing this properly? No. We need to base it on the fact of Christ's sacrifice and the fact that he's the high priest. He's going to take care of us. The assurance is our understanding that our souls are freed through Jesus Christ. Not through something we did. Our salvation is through Jesus. We are freed from the bondage of sin because of what he did for me. Now, I can turn around. I ought to be able to have the full confidence that I've got all of what God offers me. So, back up a few books to the book of Colossians. Chapter 2, and we're going to quit. The book of Colossians, very good. Because it verse 1, Paul says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love." By the way, if you look up that word knit,
here, this might work better because I don't like the fishing net. What good is, what do you call these?
Afghan. What good is this Afghan if I take one string that it's made out of? It ain't much good. But when you knit it all together,
oh, isn't that nice?
It makes a nice little throw. And it helps keep you warm.
Does it go on? It is making what?
It helps keep you warm. It does a lot. Just this one little string, though, ain't worth a flip. It's just something they're laying around. But when you knit it all together, it does a lot for you. Now look back at chapter 2 again. That our hearts might be comforted, being knit together. Okay, keep that word. Keep that remembrance about the Afghan. It's knitted together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be sin in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, go back to that one verse, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, verse 10, and ye are complete in him. So, listen, in other words, If the Israelites, when they had come out of there over into the land of Canaan, they went through all of what they went through. If they'd have followed what God said and remembered, now listen, God can help me with this. God can help me with that. Balaam tried to curse them. God would not allow that to happen. Balaam snuck in a little secret to the king of Moab. He said, guess what? I can't curse them because God ain't letting me. But I can tell you what you can do. You can be nice to them, invite them to your dinners, and use your women. And they fell for it. And it caused them all sorts of problems. They went into Baal worship, Balaam, all of that mess, Ashtaroth. They went into all that worship. They could have said, God, help us with this. But we got to do this, we got to do that. I can't overpower my fleshly desires. You're right, you can't. But through Christ, you can. You see, we got to back up and say, if we're knitted together, take them little rods they use and they sit there and they do this. And before long, I got this huge, two of them, that my mom made and gave them to me. And they're huge Afghans, and I cover up with them sometimes when it's cold and I'm laying around on the couch. They're nice. They keep you warm. When we're all knitted together as a family in love, and we're knitted together with Christ in love, listen, there ain't nothing that we can't do, nothing that we can't accomplish, and nothing that we can't overcome. Because we're totally complete in God. Totally. And that ought to be a comfort to us. To know that through Him, we are complete. We don't need any extra books. We don't need any extra whatevers to get through. All we need is God.